Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 99 if you're listening by radio. I want to mention a little bit about our website, Strength for the Journey. There's a articles tab, which has a number of articles on it. There's a tab also for prophetic words, and it's called Today's Rhema. There's also a tab there called S4TJ Radio, and it has the radio programs on there, as well as there's an archive for previous radio programs. Also, there's a link on the homepage now that goes straight to a link that goes to YouTube channel, and we have all of our radio programs on YouTube, and we kept up with that. There's also a radio station now that runs 24/7. It's called S4TJ Radio, and there's a link that goes straight to that. Also, if you can download TuneIn Radio, you can search for S4TJ and then a space radio, and you can search for that there on TuneIn Radio and download it on your phone. And you can listen to it 24/7. So anyway, there's a lot of things going on with the ministry, and I think you'll find the previous programs inspiring and maybe the articles as well. I have a very interesting guest with me today that has been in ministry for many years. We recently became acquainted here in Panama. And Shirley Smith, thanks for joining the program today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'm going to give a little brief background of her ministry experience, but what I want to mostly go into is the connection that her previous arrival in Panama here about 20 years ago has prophetically to what God is doing here in Panama today. And so, Shirley Shell, tell us a little bit. You're from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. I've been there for about 50 years now, and I've been married 60 years in December, and same man, high school sweetheart.
Awesome.
And the Lord just put us together. And but I do want to say, because of my background, it's been varied and different and very profound in many ways, because I have an amazing God. But I would like to read, just to confirm to the public, my healing, because, you know, people don't believe
you. You were healed of ovarian cancer.
Ovarian cancer, fourth stage, with less than 6 months. And so this is what my doctor had to say about my healing. He says, this is a women's clinic in North Little Rock, Arkansas. Dr. Dale Fuller was my doctor. He was my OBGYN. He said, Shirley Smith has been a patient of mine since 1991, and in June of 95, while operating on Shirley, I discovered stage 4 ovarian cancer. I removed as much cancer as possible, but all the disease could not be removed surgically because of the spread to the large and small intestines and other parts of her body. Post-operatively, I advised her to have chemotherapy, but she refused it. Instead, she relied on her faith and asked the Lord to heal her. And for the past 20 years, I have followed Shirley closely with blood tests, scans of various types, and have been unable to demonstrate any cancer cells. She is cancer-free. And according to medical science, Shirley should have died years ago from cancer. I cannot explain her cure other than to say a miracle has occurred, and I call her my miracle lady. That's beautiful.
That's awesome. And you actually wrote a booklet here on that very testimony,
mm-hmm.
and it's called The High Cost of Unforgiveness.
Yes.
You know, it's very interesting. You may not even know that. I don't know if I told you this, but my mother had ovarian cancer, and when they opened her up, this was in 1980, it had spread throughout her whole insides.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't give her a lot of hope, but God was on the scene as well. And what's very interesting is that she had a lot of unforgiveness in her life as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord dealt with her in her unforgiveness through the healing physical problem that she had manifested in her life with the cancer. But
mm-hmm.
It's just interesting that there was a connection between unforgiveness and that cancer. But the Lord miraculously healed her as well, and she lived 30 years beyond that. She died at the age of 84 here just a few years ago. But it's wonderful to see a living testimony, still
yes,
alive and well. And I find it very interesting too, is that I want you to kind of share a little bit about your the time that you came to Panama, because I believe that the period of time that you came to Panama was before or after the cancer.
After the cancer. It's about 2 years after. And I need to say, because I mean, I know what I have done has been, you know, it's been God ordained and it's been very fruitful, but it's the young people that God has allowed me to take to the nations to teach them prayer walking is when how God's begin to multiply the ministry. And but anyway, after I had the cancer and God healed me, he told me, I want you to, because I've been in ministry for many, many years then, he said, I want you to release your microphone and your platform and let the young people have it and take them to the nations and let them teach and preach and lay hands on the sick and cast out spirits and just do everything that is needed in ministry. And so that's what I did. And so I came to Panama, which just happened to be one of the nations I took them to. And I had a very powerful team on that, and I had, like, mixed nations that was with me. And we came in here. But before I left, you know, the Lord always gives us decrees and declarations and strategies and scriptures and everything. So we go out well equipped before we go out. And so during that time that the Lord was equipping me for this, I had a vision one morning, and I saw this whirlwind just swirling over my bed. And I knew a lady who had a whirlwind banner, and I said, I'm going to call her and see if I can use her banner. And so the Lord said, that is not what I'm showing you. And so then he showed me this other whirlwind. And in this whirlwind, the one that she had was the glory being released. And the Lord said, no, this is a deliverance. This is one of deliverance. And so as I watched it just swirl again, it was, I saw black chains being snapped in two and flying out, all out of the whirlwind as we moved over this nation. We went from Panama all the way down, Panama City, all the way down to the border of Costa Rica, where we went yesterday, actually. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it just swirled all over the nation. And then that's where we were teaching on deliverance. We were teaching on prayer walking then. And, unforgiveness and all the stuff that, you know, that our team teaches. And so we do a lot with praise and worship and warfare with praise and worship. The kids are very powerful with it, with their tools of worship. And I saw that one. So you're going to be doing the deliverance. And people are going to be set free all over that nation. And then he showed me a second vision. And this one was the map, which I didn't know what Panama looked like, but I saw the map and a vision and the shape of it of Panama, and then strewn across it was these bones. And as I looked at that, and I was watching it, and I'm going, there must have been a very bad battle there. It must have been a lot of people killed. You know, I'm looking at the bones. And then the Lord said, that's not what I'm showing you. And I'm saying, okay, well, what is it? And so as I watched the vision unfold, I saw these bones start to move. And I know dead bones don't move. So I'm going, he's showing me something. So I saw these bones begin to move. They began to come together. And then they became people after they came together. And then I looked and the scene changed. And they had a uniform zone, like military uniforms. So the Lord, it was like the army of the Lord was being raised up. And then, of course, Ezekiel 37, we know, is where the dry bones and God brings the body together and brings them up. And that is so needed today in the body of Christ. We are so splintered off. That's why we can't ever come to a growth or a connection or unity. Unity. Because where we have unity is where God commands the blessing.
You know, it's interesting that you're saying this, because my connections with Panama began in 1990-1991 when I came down here with Charles and Francis Hunter. And we went, I was their photographer, and we went all over Panama and did probably half a dozen different crusades in different cities. Mm-hmm. And the one that stood out to me was the city of David. And I was taking pictures of testimonies, and about every other person that was coming up and giving testimonies, either blind or deaf, either in one eye or two eyes or one ear or both ears. And it was unbelievable. It never happened any place else in the world like this was right here in David. And And I always wondered why, but when I was here, I remembered there was a testimony of the unity that was here amongst the pastors. And what I realized that I think the Lord was showing me back then was that the unity, when they were in one accord, this, the power was unleashed because of the unity. And what connects this right now with what you're sharing about Ezekiel's army is that I had a vision also, and I also had a message I was a part of. I became the leader of the men's ministry here in Boquete over the Assembly of God Churches. And that was just nominated by their own people. I mean, I didn't run for position. It was just they placed me as position, and I know the Lord was doing that. But in this position, then I was asked maybe a year later to be the keynote speaker at a men's conference that was in Panama City for the men's ministry all over Panama. And the message that I was given, the Lord gave me, was about dying to self. And I actually put a kernel of corn in each person's place, and each one of those chairs, when they sat down, they had this piece of corn to look at. And I said that the word of the Lord is that we must die to ourselves. If the Lord wants to use us the way we would love him to use us, that we have to die to ourselves. We have to, the life begins with death. And and the reason why this connection was because the Lord asked me a question while I was here. He said, well, how can a man be born again if he's never died once? And so I was beginning to think about, well, yeah, how can someone be born again? And he connected the dots with a caterpillar. The caterpillar has to die in a cocoon in order for a metamorphosis to take place. That's where the wings grow, and that's where the proboscis grows, and the appetite changes. Everything, they never eat another leaf again once they go through this metamorphosis. And I look at it this way, is when we're born again, when we're truly born again, our appetite changes. We never want to eat the same meal that we ate before. God's got a new meal for us. He's got new food for us. And in this message of death, as the keynote speaker, the next message was the need for the Holy Spirit in our lives to bring life into us and to renew our old life with his life. And and the third speaker at this conference talked about Ezekiel's army. And what I saw when he began to speak of Ezekiel's army is that we are the dead, dry bones in this army. When we'll die to ourselves and the Holy Spirit quickens us, then God will assemble us as a team and make us the army. And a word the Lord gave me after I got here was that he is raising up an army of dead men that don't fear man, the devil, or the times we live in. And I believe that this is the end time army God's going to raise up, but the qualifications begin with our death to ourselves.
Amen.
And this is why it's very interesting that you had this vision 20 years ago, and through everything, God just brought you here by a mutual friend that moved here recently, needed someone to house sit for them.
Yes.
And you hadn't talked to them in 10 years, and they call you out of the blue and say, would you go to Panama and house sit for us? And this is how the connection was made, that my wife met you, and you are a confirmation to something as the Lord's been speaking to her heart about prayer walking here in Panama and praying over the nation for protection and whatever God wants to do. And this is something that we were able to do yesterday. That was amazing experience for all of us, going to the border and being led by the Lord how to pray for this nation. And all to say, this is not just our one nation. There's nations that are listening all over the world to this broadcast. And it doesn't matter what nation you're in. Is what are you doing with what God's given you? This was the message last week on Strength for the Journey. Is what are you doing with what God's given you? And this is the challenge right now for all of us, is to get to work, is get busy with wherever you are, with whatever God's given you. Get the seed in the ground because the rain's coming.
Right. What you mentioned about the shepherd, you were talking about hearing the Lord's voice.
Yeah, well, we were talking about, I was just thinking about this today, was the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I always thought it was very interesting that how can we do what God's called us to do if we don't know his voice? Matthew 7:21 is many, you know, it's talked about, Lord, Lord, you know, not everyone says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but he that does the will of my Father. Well, how are you going to do the will of the Father if you don't know
hear.
The will of the Father?
Right.
How are you going to know the will of the Father if you don't know his voice to hear what he wants you to do? So the key that is very critical right now for everybody to learn to listen and to distinguish God's voice in our life. And the thing that the Lord showed me when I first got saved, I asked God, I said, you know, how am I going to know your voice? How am I going to follow a voice I can't see? I was just thinking about how do I discern your voice? And he didn't say my voice sounds like this. This is how he answered my question. He said, eliminate the devil. And I'm thinking to myself, eliminate the devil? What's that mean? And the next thought that came to my mind was eliminate every area in your life you've been deceived. And so I began to look at it almost like a room full of radios playing. And you don't know which one's the right station. But if you know the wrong station, you don't do it in moderation, cut back, you turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I realize is that many people have a lot of confusing voices in their life because they've not eliminated what they know is not God in their life. And they have to eliminate that in order for God's voice to get louder. And as I began to do this in my life, I was just pulling on the freeway one day, and just maybe a month after I gave my heart to the Lord, and I'm not thinking about anything but getting on the freeway, and I hear these words, if you'll live in me, I'll live in you.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, what in the world? Where'd that come from? You know, I don't think like this. And I started reading in John, and I realized when I started reading John 14, 15,
uh-huh.
You know, that this was the Lord speaking to me. If yes. I will live in him, if I will dwell in him, he will dwell in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so excited because, wow, God's speaking to me.
Yeah.
And this is, it gets very exciting because then you can yes. start getting your instructions. And, you know, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So the key to getting your instructions is you have to receive any and every word that he speaks to us. The hard words, the easy words. Don't be like the disciples in John chapter 6 that didn't like the words he was saying, you know, unless you mm-hmm. eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, who can receive this saying? And mm-hmm. says many of his disciples walked away because they couldn't receive his words.
Right.
And we have to receive every word that he wants to speak to us, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the key that's going to allow us to be in his army, to obey the commander in chief, because he's got some difficult assignments for many of us. It may be life risking situations.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter because we're supposed to be already dead. So it doesn't matter what our assignment is because, mm-hmm. you know, his life is ours. Our life is his.
Absolutely. And, you know, I learned that very early on, what you're just now saying. And, of course, there are times you have to relearn it too. But I learned that really early on because I was like in my late 20s when my husband and I started going to Mexico. But I had a very militant father. If I could put it like that, I mean, you obeyed. When my daddy said something, he didn't even have to say it. He could just look at you a certain way and move that eyebrow, and you knew exactly what you were supposed to do. And you knew who the student was and who the teacher was. And so I transferred that over to the Lord, you know. And so I love to obey the Lord because there's just awesome things happen when you do, things you couldn't imagine is going to happen. And you think, boy, how did we get here? Wow, isn't this awesome? And he said, well, because you heard and you obeyed. You listened and you obeyed. And so, but I remember that one of the first places that you said you don't have to worry about if you get into a dangerous situation. Well, the first place that he took us into was a bandits' village in Mexico. I mean, where they wore the masks on their faces and they had the machetes and the pistols on their hips. But I had heard from the Lord. Actually, if y'all don't stretch too much out here with this one, I saw the angel of the Lord that is my guardian angel. Lord, let me see that before I went in. But there's no fear. When you hear from the Lord and you have your confirmations, you know, Kenneth Hagin, Papa Hagin, they call him now, we cut our spiritual teeth on his cassette tapes. We didn't have TV and teachers and seminars and all this stuff back in those days, back in the 70s. And so we just had cassettes, but I believed every word that man taught because I checked it out with the word and I would act on it and it would come to pass exactly like he taught it and exactly like the word said. And I just stuck with him, you know? And so, and I learned to hear, I learned to get my confirmations. And so when I did, it didn't matter what anybody else said or how terrible it looked, or how dangerous it looked, for God not give me a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. Hagin just drives that into you. I said, okay, bless God. I don't have a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, not a troubled mind, not a confused mind. And I have a sound mind. and I can hear the word of the Lord, and I can obey that because I've been trained and taught how to obey from my natural father. And then the Lord gave me a spiritual father that was just as strong and would discipline me as much spiritually as my natural father did. So I never really had a chance. I mean, I've always been under, and I love it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it because there's blessings in that. There's growth in that. There is learning in that. There is change in that. That's that metamorphosis thing. You know, you just keep going and going, and you eat the word, and you listen to the Lord. And I worked with young people for all my life, and they used to say, well, how do you hear God's voice? How do you hear God's hear the word? And I said, well, you know, you just take the word, and you get in prayer, and you say, Lord, I need you to speak to me because I have this problem or that problem, and I need you to show. Oh, wow, there it is right there. And it's like it leaps off the page because God is more willing and anxious to speak to us than we are to him.
You know, what's really interesting, I was thinking about this today even, is that, you know, a lot of people are just trying to get confidence in the word of God is true. But if you can go one step beyond that
and trust on it
and trust the mouth that it came from, it doesn't matter whatever he speaks. You can trust whatever he says because mm-hmm. you trust the one who spoke it. And this is, I think, where God wants all of us to have a relationship with him, is that he is trustworthy. He's worthy of our trust. And if we can trust him, we can trust his words.
That's right. That's right. Because, I mean, because you can hear voices not his, but this right here is forever sealed in heaven. I mean, this word don't change.
Well, that's why it's important for people to get into the word of God, because mm-hmm. it is help. It's how we get to know his voice, because we know his personality. I say, but look, if you want to hear what God's voice sounds like, just open up your Bible to a red letter edition, start reading the red letters out loud, mm-hmm. and guess what? His voice sounds just like that.
Absolutely.
It is very simple to learn how to hear his voice if we just hunger for his voice.
Yes, you know, let me just point this out too, because you're talking about the scriptures. I don't know if I had ever really noticed that scripture before or not, before I had cancer, but when the Lord spoke to me, it was in Proverbs 13:3, that by the words of your mouth, you speak life or destruction. And he was telling me, don't agree with the enemy that you're going to die. Don't agree with him. And it would just, and you hear what the doctors are saying, what everybody around you is speaking, death and death and death and over you and dying. And then you feel all that pain in your body and you're almost going to agree. And you remember, no, he says, by the power of your tongue, you speak life or death. And I'm going, no, I might hear it, I might think it, but I won't say it. Will not say it. I will not give power with my words, because the life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I said, Lord, put a guard over my mouth, that I, even though I might think it, because 17 had already died in my family with it, and it's a big history, even though I might think that, I will not. I refuse. And I would just get so angry with the enemy. I said, I will not say it. I will not. And then the Lord gave me, one day I was reading this scripture, and it says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he has not give me over unto death. And I'd say, hey, listen up, devil. Hey, let me read this word to you, devil. And I would. I'd stop and I'd read that word. And I'd say, you know what? You couldn't tell me the truth if you had to, because you're the father of lies. You could never tell me the truth.
You know, I think one of the most dangerous things all of us can ever do is get into a conversation with a liar. I think that's why Adam and Eve fell in the garden, is they got into a conversation with a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Just speak the truth to the liar and let the chips fall where they may. But, you know, you don't get into a conversation with a liar, because he's going to start convincing you that he's telling the truth. You know, once you learn the truth.
Because he'll tell you a part truth.
Oh.
Just enough to get you deceived.
Little leaven.
Yes. He'll start doing that. You know, there is a scripture. Oh, and this is one of the things that really held me whenever I was going through this. And because I had prophetic words spoken over my life that had not been fulfilled yet. And they had been confirmed but never fulfilled. And one was that in the 1980s, I would go to 7 different nations, okay? And so one day it dawned on me, I've only been to 3. There's 4 more nations. Now, I can't die and go to these other nations. Now, how much sense would that make? And so one day the Lord gave me this scripture, and this is in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. And this is what Paul was saying. He said, this charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you, by them war a good warfare. And I went, hey, listen up, devil. The word of the Lord came to me. It's been confirmed to me. I go to seven nations in the 90s, and I've only been to three. Can you not count? I have four more nations. Now, how can I be dead and go to four more nations? And I use the word. That was my weapon, was the word. Hey, you are a liar. Because the word, and he said, Timothy, according to the prophecies that went forth on your life, by those war a good warfare. And that's why I would war with the word and war with the word. And I say, shut up. You're just a father of lies. You couldn't tell the truth if you had to. And you know I do. I just say, shut up, devil. He said, the roaring lion walks about singing who can devour. And he would just roar in my ears. 17's already died in your family. Two doctors already said you have less than 6 months. Feel that pain in your body? I say, shut up. I'm not dying. And I go back and I quote that word again. That's how you war with the word.
You know, it's amazing, too, the blessing that because you have not given up on the truth, that you didn't quit on the truth, but you hung on to that. Mm-hmm. I say, you know, Jesus sometimes, you know, will give us a word for us that we're going to go somewhere. And just like when he left, the disciples went across the lake. He said, I'll meet you on the other side of the lake. And he went to a mountain to pray. Well, there's a contrary winds began to blow. And they're trying to blow the disciples off course from the truth. He said, I'll meet you on the other side of the lake. But they kept rowing the boat through the night until Jesus came walking on the water in the fourth watch. Well, I look at it this way. When the Lord gives a prophetic word to us, or gives us a word of what he wants to do with our life, you don't let the contrary winds. See, your cancer was just a contrary wind.
Absolutely.
To blow you off course. Mm-hmm. And I believe that you are supposed to be here because of what took place yesterday, that we went to go mm-hmm. prayer walk over the borders of the nation mm-hmm. and to intercede for this nation, that God's purpose for the nation would not be established by the devil, but by the Lord God.
Amen.
And so this was a very key, you were a very key piece to this happening yesterday, because you were a confirmation to somebody else, my wife, that mm-hmm. had felt like the Lord is saying, this is what we're supposed to do here. Mm-hmm. And so you being invited to go sit in someone's house for a month out of the blue that you
amazing.
Hadn't talked for 10 years uh-huh. was all God's hand in the midst of you being here. But we're almost out of time, Shirley. We've got about 15 seconds. So,
okay.
Thank you so much, Shirley, for being here. And you are a tremendous blessing to so many people.
Thank you.
And I just say, many more years. Keep it up. Keep discipling. Yeah. And keep imparting in the people. And that's what it's all about.
Oh, man, it is. It is.
So thanks again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com. And we'll see you next time.